All right, Psalm 22, Bible said in verse 1. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? O my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not, and in the night season, and am not silent. But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. Our fathers trusted in thee, they trusted, and thou didst deliver them. They cried unto thee and were delivered. They trusted in thee and were not confounded. But I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men, and despise the people. All they that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out the lip. They shake the head, saying, he trusted on the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighted in him. But thou art he that took me out of the womb. Thou didst make me hope when I was upon my mother's breast. I was cast upon thee from the womb. Thou art my God from my mother's belly. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, for there is none to help. Many bulls have compassed me. Strong bulls of Bashan have beset me round. They gaped upon me with their mouths as a ravening and a roaring lion. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaveth to my jaws. And thou hast brought me into the dust of death. For dogs have compassed me, the assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierce my hands and my feet. I may tell all my bones. They look and stare upon me. They part my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture. But be not thou far from me, O Lord, O my strength. Haste thee to help me, deliver my soul from the sword, my darling from the power of the dog. Save me from the lion's mouth, for thou hast heard me from the horns of the unicorns. I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the congregation will I praise thee. Ye that fear the Lord, praise him. All ye the seed of Jacob, glorify him and fear him, all ye the seed of Israel. For he hath not despised nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted, neither hath he hid his face from him, but when he cried unto him, he heard. My praise shall be of thee in the great congregation. I will pay my vows before them that fear him. The meek shall eat and be satisfied. They shall praise the Lord that seek him. Your heart shall live forever. All the ends of the world shall remember and turn unto the Lord, and all the kindreds and nations shall worship before thee. For the kingdom is the Lord's, and he is the governor among the nations. All they that be fat upon the earth shall eat and worship. All they that go down to the dust shall bow before him, and none can keep alive his own soul. A seed shall serve him. It shall be accounted to the Lord for a generation. They shall come and shall declare his righteousness unto a people that shall be born that he hath done this. Father, we love you tonight. We're thankful for the word of God. Thankful, Lord, just for the privilege to stand here behind this place dedicated to the ministry of the word of God. And just to be able to read it tonight and reflect on it and ponder it, Lord, as we see and we hear its words, Lord, in our hearing tonight. Father, I pray that you'd make this text alive to us, Lord, over the next little while. Father, as we study it, Lord, give me direction and wisdom. Recall the things you placed upon our heart to say. And Father, I pray this evening, Lord, we'd leave here tonight rejoicing in the Lord Jesus Christ, rejoicing in the goodness we've already heard testified of, rejoicing in the grace of God that saved our soul from sin and from judgment that is to come. And Lord, I pray this evening we'd leave here, Lord, with our eye upon Calvary, that hill and that cross and that place where the Lord Jesus gave his blood and his life that we might be saved. God, help us tonight. And all that you do, we'll bless you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated tonight. Thank you for standing and thank you for minding the Lord in testifying this evening. This encouraged our hearts. Psalm 22 is from the pen of David. The Bible said in the heading of this psalm, the chief musician, and it gives the place where it's upon. And the Bible said a psalm of David. And so we have another psalm here. by the sweet psalmist of Israel, the man after God's own heart, the man that God has used to pen the majority of the psalms that we have in our King James Bible. It's a psalm from the pen of David, but when you read this psalm as we have tonight, I'm sure if you've been saved long and have studied the Word of God and you're familiar with the events of Calvary, you understand at Psalm 22, though penned by David, it's all about Jesus Christ and the cross of Calvary upon which He died. As we've read it in our hearing tonight, we understand many of the things that David has said have been foretold here and take up their fulfillment and their place in the end in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ there at Calvary. Though written 1,000 years before the death of Christ, this psalm is written as the Holy Ghost moves upon David, as it would even appear David as being an eyewitness to the events that are going to take place 1,000 years later. Only the Holy Ghost could do that. As the Lord Jesus, the Bible said, was the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. And my friend, the Holy Ghost had already seen it and was able to move upon David. And as David had pen and paper in his hand and he begins to write, no doubt the Holy Ghost takes over his hand and he begins to be witness of something that David hasn't even seen. And so David, as an eyewitness, begins this psalm, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And we know that from the cross the Lord Jesus cried out, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, that is being interpreted, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And some liberals would say that that just means the Lord was looking back and quoting from Psalm 22. Can I say, I believe tonight that, amen, that wasn't the Lord quoting David, but David in Psalm 22 is quoting the Lord. And so Calvary is seen in this passage of Scripture, and we understand tonight that this psalm, it is a messianic psalm, as told by God Himself of things that take place at Calvary. This whole psalm's about Calvary. It's all about the Lord Jesus. It's all about, my friend, that event that is to come. And we understand that it came just as, amen, just as the Holy Ghost is moving upon David to write it. Consider several things, and I'm not going to take much of this psalm. I'm just going to give some thoughts, and we'll kind of jumble it all together. I want to get a certain place tonight. Consider this with me as it's about Calvary tonight in verses 1. Down through verse 21, I see the prophetical afflictions of Calvary. If you'll study this passage in these verses tonight, you'll understand when you begin to add it up, there's over 30 prophecies given in this psalm that are directly related to the suffering of Jesus Christ upon the cross. There are over 30 that are fulfilled in that day in the New Testament. As the gospel writers begin to give an account, we find that they came to pass just as foretold and just as prophesied right here in Psalm 22. Notice with me these afflictions that he faces. There's three of them this evening that I want to deal with. Maybe not the details of the affliction. Consider this with me tonight, that at Calvary and in this psalm we find that at Calvary Jesus was afflicted by the holy hand of God. The Bible said in verse 1, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my glory? Calvary, my friend, was a place when the Lord Jesus was afflicted by the holy hand of God. And he goes on to say in verse 2, oh my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not, and in the night season, and am not silent. He said in verse number 15, the Bible said, my strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaveth to my jaws, and thou hast brought me into the dust of death. He's speaking to God, and he said, everything I'm going through and the death that I'm dying, it is God, it is the holy hand of God that is afflicting me in this hour. Somebody said, who killed the Lord Jesus in Calvary. Amen. God the Father himself killed the Lord Jesus in Calvary. My friend, as he brought him down in death that day at Calvary, in the prophecy, prophetical affliction that the Lord was to face, David uncovers to you and I that it was the holy hand of God that brought that affliction upon it. The Bible said in the New Testament, and he, that is God, made him to be sin who knew no sin, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. And so we understand that there's an aspect of Calvary whereby the Lord Jesus suffered himself at the hand of his very Father, the holy hand of God. We understand that in these verses we've read, that in spite of all of that, in spite of feeling forsaken, in spite of feeling afflicted by God himself, that my friend, God was able to say, the Lord Jesus said, as David is penning, verse 3, but thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. Amen. The Lord Jesus there was afflicted by his own Father in the holy hand of God. And yet in the midst of that affliction, he understood. Amen. It was the holiness of God. It was the holy God that, and the holy character of God that had wrought that affliction in him at Calvary. And sinner tonight, he not only suffered and was afflicted, it at the holy hand of God, but the hurtful hand of man. Over and over we read, as David pens here in this messianic psalm, he deals with the fact that he's being tormented and is suffering at the hands of man. He describes great thirst. He describes, my friend, the mockery and the ridicule, that the wagging of the head. He describes, my friend, that all the trouble that man brought upon him that day. And can I say, when we think about Calvary, we do understand the name that the Lord Jesus suffered in the hurtful hands of man more than any man has ever hurt, more than any man has ever been afflicted, more than any other human being has ever been through. The Lord Jesus Christ in Calvary went through these things. He describes, and I don't have time to deal with it, but he describes himself as a worm that is being crushed. He describes himself as a lamb that is begged. My friend, that is being beat down by the bulls of Bashan. He describes himself as being stripped and naked as men gaze upon him. He describes it, himself as being poured out like water and his bones being out of joint. He begins to describe the sufferings and the afflictions that my friend man has done to him, as little by little the hurtful hands of man have stripped him of his strength and stripped him of his dignity and stripped him, my friend, of any decency. He described, my friend, the events of that day and the crowd being around as dogs that have compassed him, the assembly of the wicked having crept in upon him. He said, they pierced, verse 16, they pierced my hands and my feet. He begins to describe the fact that his body has been laid open, and that, my friend, even his very bones are gazing upon the affliction that he's going through there that day. Amen. They look and stare upon me, said in verse 17, as they beheld him there that day, and all, my friend, of his misery, and all of, amen, the loss of strength, and all that, the torture they had brought into his human body, the Lord Jesus that day suffered and was afflicted by the holy hand of God and by the hurtful hand of man. Notice with me, he was afflicted that day, according to verse number 21, I believe, by the hateful hand of Satan. And this is a subject that the Word of God doesn't say a lot about, but it's alluded to here and in other places. You remember in Genesis 3, the fall of man, as the Lord was pronouncing the curses upon Adam and Eve and upon the serpent who was none other than Satan coming, that form of guile and in deception. The Lord prophesied, God prophesied the serpent that day, that what you've done to the woman here, that you're going to bruise the heel of the seed of the woman. When the seed of the woman gets done, he's going to bruise your head. And from that day forward,
forward, Satan, my friend, fought against the coming of the Messiah. We can go through the scripture tonight. My friend, he tried to stop him from coming. He tried to stamp him out. He done everything that he could, my friend, to keep the Messiah from being who God said that he was going to be. And my friend, Calvary was his last attempt. Amen. Calvary was his last step. Go around and trying to stop it and to try to hold him down and to try to do him in. And that day, my friend, at Calvary, the Bible said in verse 21, save me from the lion's mouth, for thou hast heard me from the horns of the unicorns. And so we find in this psalm that beyond God bringing affliction and man bringing affliction, at that day at Calvary, beyond what we could ever comprehend, and Satan himself brought affliction to the Lord and trying to bring him down, and yet my friend, and all that he can do, all he can wind up afflicting the Lord is by bruising his heel. Amen. And Calvary, we know, I might preach on this tonight, we know Calvary was when the Lord bruised the head of the serpent. Amen. He may have bruised his heel there. He may have afflicted him, my friend, all that he could, and no doubt beyond what we could ever comprehend tonight. Calvary, my friend, and all that affliction brought about a punishment to the foe of the darling Son of God. And so in this psalm we understand that there's the prophetical afflictions of Calvary. David, the Holy Ghost moving upon David, is saying when he comes, here's what he's going to face, and here's how he's going to suffer, and here's what he's going to go through. A man in the world looks at that, and the liberal looks at it tonight, and they say, well, what a pointless death. What a senseless way for the Son of God to die. And surely this was an accident. Surely this was a mistake. Did you notice how this psalm ended in its second introductory thought tonight about Calvary? And my friend, in this psalm, we not only see the prophetical affliction of Calvary, we find the pronounced author of Calvary. This psalm begins with, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And it looks like the Son of God is dying alone. It looks like he's dying in vain. It looks like there's no point to his death. And yet this psalm ends, and the Lord says, that the Lord is the one that has done this, said, and beyond, my friend, man being in control, beyond anything that the devil did that day, beyond, my friend, his hands being pierced, and his feet being pierced, and his beard being plucked, and crown of thorns being planted upon his head, and my friend, behind it all, and the Lord God of heaven is the author of Calvary. Amen. It was no mistake. Amen. Pilate wasn't in charge. Herod wasn't in charge. The Pharisees weren't in charge. Caiaphas, the high priest, said, my friend, wasn't calling the shots that day. It is the Lord that has done this. It is the Lord's doing it. He is the author of Calvary. And so tonight, where I want to get is in verses 22 down through the end of the psalm. And I want to show you something tonight. Consider this. We've seen the prophetical afflictions of Calvary and the pronounced author of Calvary. And in verse 22 through 31, I see the preceding aftermaths of Calvary. You see, Calvary was accomplished in the very perfect will and plan of God. It wasn't an afterthought. It wasn't a mistake. It wasn't plan B. It wasn't plan C. It wasn't, well, nothing else worked. We'll try this. At Calvary, in this psalm, it is evident, my friend, the great sufferings of Christ in bringing him down in death was the absolute perfect will and plan of Almighty God. Consider this with me. When verse 21 ends, we find that, my friend, the Lord Jesus is dead. My friend, verse 22 begins, my friend, listen, his psalm starts out low, and verse after verse after verse in verse 21, my friend, it gets lower. It gets, my friend, where it looks like, and it's getting darker and darker and darker. But all of a sudden, in verse 22, the lights turn back up, and the Lord is not suffering, but the Lord is praising His Father. And that friend, it goes from being afflicted to that friend being raised as the great Lord of all. And so he dies in verse 21, and somewhere between verse 20, amen, it's saying in the black, it's in the white now, but somewhere in that little white place between verse 21 and verse 22, there is a resurrection, and the Lord is no longer dead, but He lives. And there are things that began, my friend, to proceed from all that the Lord did in the opening 21 verses. Now tonight we understand that this is the aftermath of Calvary. And so I want to deal with that, the things in Calvary has produced, all that He went through. And we can preach, and listen, we can preach out of Psalm 22 for months and months and months, my friend, but I just want to get down to it as we've been going through the Psalms one by one and deal with and preach tonight on that thought, the aftermath of Calvary. What did Calvary produce? And what is it in this song in particular that, my friend, flows from the shadow of the cross? Consider this with me tonight in verse 26, 27, 28, and verse 29. Number one, the aftermath of Calvary. Number one, there is a salvation that is provided. A salvation is provided. Consider this with me tonight. The Bible said, the meek shall eat and be satisfied. They shall praise the Lord and seek Him. Your heart shall live forever. The Bible said, all the ends of the world shall remember and turn unto the Lord, and all kindreds of the nations shall worship before Thee. For the kingdom is the Lord's, and He is the governor among the nation. The Bible said, and all they that go down to the dust shall bow before Him, and none can keep alive his own soul. And so tonight I want to deal with these verses and deal with that, the aftermath of Calvary, and that there was a salvation that is provided. The Lord Jesus in Calvary, my friend, was doing a lot of things, but one of the greatest things, if not the greatest thing for you and I today, is that He was obtaining eternal redemption and the possibility of it, and it might be provided to you and to me. Amen. Salvation only is possible because of that which the Lord Jesus did that day, all that He went through, all that He suffered at the holy hand of God, all that He suffered at the hurtful hand of man, all that He suffered that day in the hateful hand of Satan. The Lord Jesus, amen, was going to bring about, amen, as the aftermath of Calvary, a salvation that would be provided to you and me. Now tonight, consider what He says in these verses about this salvation, this provision of salvation. I see the persons for salvation. Amen. In verse 26 and 27, I see in verse 27 of their multitude. You say, preacher, who can be saved? Who is this salvation for? And He said in verse 27, all the ends of the world. Amen. Every nation, every kindred, every tongue, every tribe, every race, every skin color, amen, every background, amen, all the world, He's saying, has His salvation provided, amen. Who is His salvation for? And it's for red and yellow and black and white, it's for every land and every people tonight, and we see their multitude. But in particular, consider tonight at this salvation, not only their multitude, notice their meekness. The Bible said that the meek shall eat and be satisfied. And my friend, it comes to a certain crowd. It's for everybody. My friend, it's only effective tonight for the meek. We see the multitude. We see their meekness. The word meek here, it means poor, oppressed, afflicted, or humble. It deals with tonight persons kids who are not proud, who are not holding, and who are not self-assertive. Amen. What's the psalmist saying? What's the Lord saying? He's saying, I tell you, the crowd that has salvation offered and the crowd that obtains it, it ain't the crowd that won't admit what they are. It ain't the crowd that won't admit how low and oppressed and poor and afflicted they are by sin. But it's that crowd that humbly comes to the Lord and seeks the Lord and said, I am a poor man. I am an oppressed man. I am an afflicted man. And in meekness is where you'll find salvation. No man's ever been saved. No woman's ever been saved. Amen. By coming to God and all they had to offer. Oh no, we all get down in the dirt. We all have to admit what we are. We all have to get honest with God and fall down at His feet in meekness. It's a person's for salvation. I'm glad I can say tonight that it is for the multitude. I'm glad tonight it don't matter where you come from. If you're willing, my friend, to humble yourself and get down and partake of Him and understand you've got nothing to bring to the table and He's brought it all to the table. Amen. And he, David said, amen, the Lord said through David, and it's the meek that ain't it. And when you do, you will be satisfied. We see, my friend, the persons of salvation. Consider this, the promise of salvation. He said, the meek shall eat and be satisfied. They shall praise the Lord and seek Him. Your heart shall live forever. You know what he's saying in that? And those that seek the Lord will be saved and they'll have everlasting life. Amen. I'm glad that's the promise of salvation. He didn't promise to save me for a day. He didn't promise to save me and then turn me loose. Amen. And do the best I could to keep it. Amen. The promise of eternal salvation is that He'll save you. Amen. And not just save you today, but He'll save you for tomorrow. He'll save you for next year. And He'll save you for eternity. Amen. And all that is the result of the work that the Lord did at Calvary. The aftermath of Calvary, there is salvation that is provided, the percent and the promise. But notice the path to this salvation, I think, is covered and described in it. In verse 27, the Bible said, All the ends of the world shall, number one, remember. What are they going to remember? What is going to grip their mind and their memory? Well, they're going to have to think back and understand all that Jesus did for them in Calvary. All that He suffered was for them. All that He went through was for their low-down, sorry, amen, sinful, hell-deserving soul. And so there is a remembrance. Amen. The path in this salvation is you must remember. Verse 27 said, not only shall they remember, but the Bible said, and turn unto the Lord. And so we find they've got to remember. There's a remembrance, but then there's a repentance. Amen. As it dawns on you what He did, and all that the Holy God of glory went through, all that the darling Son of God faced, amen, you're mindful, amen, that He did it all for you, amen, and it provokes repentance, amen, a turning from your sin, and a turning from yourself, and David said, it's that crown, and a turn unto the Lord. They're the ones that are going to be satisfied, and the ones that are going to be saved, and the ones that salvation that has been provided is going to be effectual toward. Amen. Can I say tonight, repentance is of absolute necessity in light of all that the Lord went through at Calvary. Amen. Everything He faced, every fact, Brother Dean, that He endured, demands man turn from his sin and look to a sovereign, holy Holy God. Amen. You say, well, you're preaching works. No, I'm preaching the holiness of God. At Calvary demands, amen, that we not come to God for some little fire insurance, that we come to God for a changed life. At Calvary will that crowd that had turned from their self and looked at Calvary, amen, in repentance, and God, there will be a salvation that had changed your life. Amen. Repentance. Amen. There is a remembrance and a repentance. See in verse 28, the path to salvation involves a recognition. Abel said, for the kingdom is the Lord's. And I'm about ready to preach right here. And he is the governor of the nation. Said, you know what Calvary demands tonight? If you're going to get in on the salvation that's provided, it demands you acknowledge, amen, who that the Lord is. Said, I'm glad the Bible tonight doesn't tell me that I have to make him Lord. He's already Lord. I can't make him something he already is. Said, but I'm telling you tonight, that day I got saved, I came to him, and there was old Vance Havner said, I got saved. I'm just a 13-year-old, a country boy. He said, I didn't know all the grand doctrines of the Bible. He said, but I knew this. I was a sinner and he was the Lord. Amen. And I said, amen, you ain't got to know about adoption, and you ain't got to know all there is to know about regeneration. But if you're going to get saved tonight, amen, you'll have to know and remember and be mindful of what he did at Calvary. You'll have to turn from your sin, and you'll have to acknowledge and recognize, amen, that the kingdom is the Lord's. You know what salvation does? Amen. Salvation, that kind of salvation, that Bible kind of salvation, will get you to quit living for your own kingdom and get you living for his kingdom. Amen. When you realize he's the boss and you ain't. Amen. There's a recognition in this path of salvation that, amen, he is the Lord and he is the governor and he is in charge. Well, I'm getting carried away tonight. I'll never get through all this. I ain't even halfway done. But Jerry, I'm glad at Calvary, the aftermath of Calvary, at Brother Dean, there is a salvation that is provided. I'm glad that I found it and I was in the number that it was for. I'm glad, thank God, I repented of my sin. I'm glad I found the path. I'm glad that I know the promise. Notice with me in these verses, there is the praise for salvation. Amen. He said that crowd that I humbled down, amen, oh, there's going to be people from all the ends of the world. Did you catch that? From all the ends of the world. Amen. You say, boy, I feel like I live on the end of the world. I feel like I'm at the very end. Amen. I'm glad that's where he goes. I'm glad Calvary, amen, reaches down to the very end tonight. Brother Tim, I'm glad this evening that he knows where the end is. John 13:1 said, and when the Lord knew his time was come, to depart back to the Father, and he loved his own, and then he loved them to the end. Amen. Calvary, amen, to reach the end of the world and draw you in. And David, and the Lord, through the pen of David now, is saying salvation's provided. Amen. The person, the path, and the promise, that he deals with several times. He said there's going to be something that happens to that crowd that gets in there. They're going to begin to praise the Lord. Amen. Well, 27 now. The Bible said the meek shall eat. Verse 26. The meek shall eat and be satisfied. They shall praise the Lord that seek Him. The Bible said in verse 27 that my friend, all the kindreds of the nations shall worship before thee. The Bible said in verse 28, and all they that be fat upon the earth shall eat and worship. All they that go down to the death shall bow before Him. Amen. You say, what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying that crowd, listen, here's how I wrote it down. That my friend, these verses reveal that saved people will be praising people. Amen. You ain't got a purple mouth. You ain't got a primal mouth. Amen. You ain't got a squirt starter juice down their throat, death. Amen. They're ready to praise God, death. Oh, they know what they were. They know where they were headed, death. They know they didn't deserve anything, death. And yet the Son of God came and died for them and provided them with salvation, death. And their life from that time on has spent praising the God that has saved them. Amen. The salvation that is provided. You say, preacher, what about happened last night at the choir? And what about the testimonies and all that's going on here tonight? Amen. It's well in order and it's always in order. Amen. I'm not talking about shallow emotionalism, but if you're saved, then you know what the Bible said, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Amen. Amen. Brother Chris said it. You know, he kind of worried about people saying, well, he's always going to have something to say. Amen. Can I say tonight? We ought to always have something to say. Amen. Saved people are praising people. The aftermath of Calvary, number one, there is a salvation that is provided. Y'all want number two? I'll preach it and then I'll just throw out the third and we'll go to the house. I love this right here. The more I chewed on it, the bigger it got. And I don't even know if I can get it out right tonight, but notice this with me. There he is in the aftermath of Calvary, all that he went through. What proceeds from that is that there is a congregation that is promoted. Notice what the Bible said in verse 22. The Bible said, I will declare thy name among thy brethren. Among my brethren, is that what it said? I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the congregation will I praise thee. The Bible said down in verse 25, my praise shall be of thee in the great congregation. Now hang with me now over there in Hebrews chapter number 2, I believe it's verse 12. The Apostle Paul laid out the context of what's going on here. And he said, he got done talking about all that the Lord went through, having his made a little lower than the angels, said, was crowned with suffering and all these things. And then Paul reaches back about a little over a thousand years ago and said that verse over there in Psalm 22. In verse number 22, here's what David had in mind. Here's what the Lord was saying. And he began to quote that verse, but when he gets down there, he doesn't say, I declare thy name among thy brethren and in the midst of the congregation, but Paul uses the word church. In the midst of the church will I make known. Are you listening? Amen. You can read it later for yourself and not take the time when you bring it over into what Paul said. Paul said, I tell you, the context of that congregation is talking about is that he was speaking about the church. Are you listening to that? Well, you say it, Brother Jeff. I'm saying the aftermath of Calvary is it, my friend, the Lord that day was dying for the world. He was dying for sinners and the ungodly. And according to Ephesians 5, that he shed his blood and gave his life, and he might buy church. And I say Calvary's where that the Lord bought and paid for in in full, by the way, yeah. Bought and paid for in full, yeah. Amen, his church, yeah. Amen, I'm glad we've been bought. I'm glad we've been paid for today. Amen, that's the aftermath in Calvary, yeah. You know why we got a place to come tonight and enjoy, yeah, and be encouraged, yeah, have our faith grown, yeah. Amen, cause 2,000 years ago, amen, he shed his blood, yeah, that we might have this to, amen, yeah. I'm glad tonight, I don't know where I'd be had it not been for the church, yeah. I know it's the grace of God, yeah, of the way God has ministered his grace, yeah, on the many days has been, yeah, sitting where you're sitting tonight, amen, and singing how we've been singing this week, amen, and enjoying what we've been enjoying tonight. Other than thank God, death at Calvary in the aftermath, is that he provided all of this for you and I. It's a congregation that is promoted. Amen. Thank God tonight for the church of the living God. Amen. Somebody said, at the church ain't in the Old Testament. Well, it is in Psalm 22:22. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. I know she wasn't in function then. Amen. I know there's a crowd in that. Now listen, you may believe this and we'll disagree on it. Amen. Church didn't start the day of Pentecost. Amen. Thank God Calvary's blood. Amen. Was where the church was birthed. Amen. It was being assembled in the Lord's earthly ministry that day when he cried, "It is finished," and he was bled out. Amen. He was putting down the redemptive price. Amen. That we might have what we have tonight. Thank God tonight for the church. Amen. Thank God in the shadow of Calvary we find that here the church is raised up and promoted. Amen. In that great shadow tonight. And I give you about 4 or 5 things. I may not even get the last point. Amen. Hang with me. It's only 8:21 and it's too cold to leave yet. Amen. Hallelujah. Watch this now. Amen. Number one, I find that the gathering in the church is promoted. Gathering in the church is promoted from Calvary. Did you catch what the Bible said in verse 22 and 23? The Bible said, "I will declare thy name unto my brethren in the midst of the congregation. Will I praise thee?" Just that word, congregation. You know what that means? That means there's an assembling. There's a gathering in together. And there are, amen, there's a brother here and a sister there. Amen, the family of God gathering in. Amen, to a local place and gathering it. And the Bible said, "Ye that fear the Lord, praise him. All ye the seed of Jacob, glorify him. And fear him, all ye the seed of Israel." Amen, there's 3 groups. There's actually 4 different folk. And it's found in these verses, and they're all gathered in to this great, amen, assembly of the church, amen. Number one, there's the crowd that fears him, I believe that's the Gentiles. Are you listening? Amen. That Gentile crowd, I guess there's 3 folk, amen, 3 different groups of folk or 3 different people that's in this gathering. Amen. There's Gentiles, all ye that fear the Lord. There's no bloodline that's demanded. Amen. There's no pedigree you got to have there. Amen. It doesn't matter where you're from if you fear the Lord. Amen. You've been saved. You've been blood-bound. Amen. That's you and that's me. And then the Bible said, he's speaking of those that are of Judah and of Israel. And if you put them together, that's not only the Gentiles. That's the Jews are brought into this congregation. Amen. Can I say thank God? Amen. In the Old Testament, the Gentile couldn't come near. He was looked down upon. He was a stranger and an alien. Amen. He wasn't allowed. He was told to stay out and to stay away. You come over in the New Testament, the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and the Word, and he did it at Calvary. The aftermath is that there's a promotion of a certain congregation, and they're going to begin to assemble and gather in there. Amen. And it ain't just Abraham who's invited, and it ain't just Isaac and Jacob, that the doors are open unto, but thank God every soul that has been thirsty. Amen. And he's got a drink, Brother Joe, with that well of living water. Jew and Gentile alike. Amen. In that place promoting death, have an assembly and gathering where we're all brought in. Say, well, who's the third one in the gathering? I'm glad you asked. Because you got Jews and Gentiles, and then you got the Lord. Amen. He said, I'll declare thy name among thy brethren. I'm gonna lift you up in the midst of the congregation. I'm gonna show up and I'm gonna sing and I'm gonna praise. You know what the Lord is saying? And after Calvary, amen, y'all hang on to your seats now. Did you understand this? That every time we come together, amen, every time there's a gathering of the church that was bought and paid for, amen, you come in and I come in and my little snotty-nosed kids come in and your little snotty-nosed kids come in. Amen, you come in with all your trouble. You come in with all your burdens, Seth. You come in with all your prayer requests, Seth. And we gather around and we begin to sing. And we began to sing that amazing grace. But you know what verse 22 said? That the Lord shows up, and while we're singing, he's singing. Amen. When we go to testify, he said, I got something to say too. Amen. What a gathering. That's what he meant over there in the New Testament when he said, amen, where two or three are gathered together, I am in the midst. Amen. I'm glad the Lord's here tonight. Amen. I'm glad the Lord is interested in promoting the gathering of his church. Amen. You say, amen. And I've said it now, and I think after studying this, I'm probably wrong. You ever said, well, Lord didn't show up today? Well, he did show up. That ain't a problem with the Lord. That's a problem with you. Amen. He always shows up. You say, but we ain't right here and we ain't right there. He still shows up. I can prove it from the Word of God. You might as well look on up in here. Amen. That old church of Laodicea was in an absolute mess. Amen. Where was the Lord? The Lord's standing there trying to get in. Knocking on the door. Why? Amen. Because he said, I will declare thy name among thy brethren. In the midst of the congregation, in the midst of the church, I'm going to make known. I'm going to testify. I'm going to sing. I'm going to brag about him. Why? Because the Lord knows he's the God that inhabits the praises of his people. The gathering is promoted. But notice this. The grace. Amen. The grace in the church is promoted. In verse 24, the Bible said, for he hath not despised nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted, neither hath he hid his face from him, but when he cried unto him, he heard. Amen. You say, preacher, what's that mean? It means the Lord is listening and moved by the needs of his church. Amen. He doesn't despise us when we're down. Amen. We preachers, man, we're pretty pitiful. We got, amen, these real big egos and real small on patience. Amen. We ain't like we always got to be up in the clouds. And Brother Jeremy, we always said, amen, got to have it all nailed down. That the Lord is testifying here. That when it comes to the needs of his church, he doesn't despise you when you're afflicted. Amen. He's not offended when you're down. My friend, he understands. Amen. He hears when you cry, when all you can do is cry. I'm glad tonight, whatever our needs are, we can walk into the great congregation. Amen. And let our needs be known. And know that God has grace, my friend, in the time of affliction. The gathering of the church is promoted. The grace in the church is promoted. Hang with me. I'm trying to go quick, Brother Dean. Please don't leave on me now. Amen. Watch this. Amen. I like this right here, verse 25. The greatness of the church is promoted. He said in verse 22, he called it the congregation. But when you get to verse 25, he said that just don't quite do it justice. He said, it's a great congregation. Hey, man, are y'all in the building tonight? Brother Mark, I'm glad. Listen, the church ain't a small thing. It ain't a light thing. It's a great thing. Hey, man, I can't tell you how many days I wasn't great, but I went to church and I found something great. Hey, man, I've heard great singing in the church. I've heard great preaching in the church. I've heard some great testifying in the church. I've met some great people, and thank the greatest folk I've ever met. Hey, man, I didn't meet them down in a bar room on a bar stool. I didn't meet them down at a honky-tonk cat. The greatest people I've ever met, I've met down in the house of God, Dad. You say, yeah, I know some hypocrites down there. Hey, man, yeah, I do too, and I might be looking at some, Dad, but I'm telling you tonight, still, Dad, the greatest people in the world, Dad, the greatest place you'll ever go in this life, Dad, is down to the church of the living God. Yeah, man, biggest hypocrites I've ever met, I've met right here. But, hey, man, I'm telling you everything I have. Hey, man, I try not to be one of these preachers by the grace of God. Hey, man, I don't talk bad about the church. I know we got our issues, and I know that we got our problems. I know we got blemishes. Brother Dane, hey, man, it's still the best place on earth I know to go. Hey, man, warts and all, Brother Jack, I'd rather be here tonight. Are you listening to me? I'm about to blow up. I'd rather be here tonight than anywhere I know. Amen. I'd rather be right here where I'm standing. Amen. Why? Because I can't think of any greater place in this world to be. It is a great congregation. Amen. Problems and all is still a great place. Issues and all is still. Somebody said, well, there's just this going on and that going on. I think I'm just going to get out of church. Amen. Where else you going to go? Amen. Where else you going to go and find what we have here? Where else? Amen. You going to go to get what God does in this place? Amen. Thank God tonight. Amen. The greatness of the church is magnified because of Calvary. Now, it ain't because Dean's a member that we're great. It ain't because Jack and Ella join Sunday that makes us great. Amen. It ain't because of your pastor that makes it great. Amen. Say, what makes it great? Calvary makes it great. Amen. You know what makes the church great tonight? Because we're anchored in the 2,000 years ago. Amen. That event where the Lord died for you and died for me and died. And we can have what we have. The greatness of the church is all wrapped up in Calvary. Amen. The greatness. We see the grace. We see the gathering. Notice with me, I see the giving by the church is promoted. You catch what the Bible said, and that's about the Lord, but He's being a good example to us. He said, I'll pay my vows before them that fear Him. You know what He's saying? When I go down the church because of Calvary, I'm going to come with a gift. Amen. I'm going to pay up what I need to pay up. Amen. I'm going to pay my vows. I'm going to give something that's right to give down there at the church. Not to the Shriners. Amen. God help us now. Not to Oliver B. Green Ministries. Y'all might as well say glory right there. Amen. Hallelujah. Where do I bring it? I bring it down and give it to the church. Down there, the old storehouse, I give through the storehouse. In light of what He did at Calvary, He's promoted this place. He's the one that promoted it. He's the one that raised it up. He's the one that's building it. He's the one that bought it. So what do? I come bearing my gift to God, and I give it by the church. And then I like this. The last one is, and you put all the verses together, and you got it all over again like the first point. There's praise. There's glorifying. There's worship going on. Where at? Down at the church. I call it, there's the gladness of the church is promoted. Church folk, sometimes some of the most miserable looking people in all the world. Y'all might as well say amen. We went to Dollywood the other day. Now y'all don't get mad at me. All right. Everybody say, preacher, I ain't going to get mad at you. We went down to Dollywood, and me and my family, we just dress how we dress at church is how we dress everywhere. We don't have one way to dress at church and another way to dress at Dollywood and another way to dress at the beach. Everybody okay?
Right.
Now, if you don't do that, that's between you and God. You can be wrong. Yeah. Amen. But down there at Dollywood, you know, there's a lot of quote Christian people that go down there, and you can tell because their women have dresses on like my wife and daughters do when we go. And that's right. Amen. It's still right. But you know what I've learned? I told my daughters, I pointed it out because I don't just want them wearing dresses. I want them to be happy Christians. You know some of the most miserable looking people in Dollywood, them women got the longest dresses on? Under the Lord, you're at Dollywood, you're supposed to smile. Going to get on a ride. This is what I told my daughters. I said, I wish some of them would put a pair of pants on and smile.
Yeah.
You might as well say, man, amen. Amen. The church is to be a glad bunch of people. We're to be known, listen, we ought to be known for how we dress and how we look. But above all that, we better be known for the joy of the Lord that's in our heart that shines on our face. Amen. You say, amen, how are we going to get Calvary to grow? We're going to have to get some of y'all to smile. You got to smile. Amen. Amen. Ain't it funny? Amen. Sinners get around church folks, supposedly safe folk.
Yeah.
And the way you look makes them think the life they're living is better than the life you say you're living. Amen. Walk around, old chip on your shoulder. Walk in church, a chip on your shoulder. Walk in church, old bad attitude. That ain't no place for church. In light of Calvary, we ought to come in with the joy of the Lord shining and beaming on our face, saying, hallelujah! He died for me. He bought me. He gave me this place. And I can enjoy it. It's the gladness of the church has promoted. Y'all might as well say, and we ain't changing, by the way, on the dress stuff. It's still right, but we're going to be happy about it. Amen. Y'all look on up in here. You can wear a dress, looks like a, amen, mud flaps off the back of an 18-wheeler. But if you don't wear a smile on your face, you're a hypocrite and you ain't right with God. Woo, hallelujah. Everybody okay? Amen. He saved you. He didn't say, I've come that you might have life and wear a dress the rest of your life. That ain't what he said. He said, I come that you might have life, that you might have it more abundantly. Some joy down on the inside. Joy of the Lord is your strength. It didn't say the standards was the strength of God's people. It said the joy of the Lord is our strength. Are you listening to me tonight? I'm telling you, amen, the church ought to be known for the joy that it has. We ought to be the happiest place in Newport that people can come. Amen. You say, but I got burdens. Just got burdens. Get in line. We all got burdens. Cry. Amen. But sometimes you all heard, I'm about to be done, Brother Jerry. Don't leave on me. Amen. Sometimes you got to laugh to keep from crying. You going to cry enough in this world. And you, amen, mark it down. When one weeps, we all weep. But there better be some times we're a reflection of this community that the joy of the Lord is something that abounds in our ministry and in our hearts. Amen. Yes. Everybody okay? We ain't changing.
No,
we just want to make sure we have the right balance.
Right.
Amen. Hallelujah. Yep. Amen. I'm just being honest about it, Brother Gerald.
Preach, brother.
If wearing a dress and wearing long breeches all the days of our life and keeping our button all the way, if it's going to make us miserable, we ain't right with God anyway.
Right.
I don't know why I'm hammering this. I just want to make sure we're all on the same page. Amen. If you can't wear a smile and be happy in life, part of living for God's living. You can't live for God without living.
You're right.
Living for God ain't sitting in some cave somewhere with all your little list of things you do and you don't do. Amen. I'm for the do and don't do. We ain't going to do and we ain't going to do some things, and we're going to do a lot of things. But we ain't to hole up in here and draw the curtains back and be scared of every little boogeyman in the world. Amen. And Michael said it good last night. He said in the book of Acts, folk got saved when God's people, the church, got rejoicing. When they got happy, it was done something to this old world who's empty. They'll cry theirself to sleep tonight. When they walk in here and they see Dean crying and tears of joy falling from his face and his hand in the air, and they see old Brother Jack over there waving his hand, see Roger back there while the choir singing, going, amen. You know what it does? It lets them know you got something they ain't got. The gladness of the church. Well, I've labored on. What time is it?
About nine.
About nine? It ain't nine, you stinking liar. We need to vote Lucas out tonight. It can't be 9 o'clock. Notice verse 30 and 31, and I'm done. It's only 8:40. Made me nervous. We see the aftermath of Calvary. There's a salvation that is provided. We see there's a congregation that is promoted. Then we see in verse number 30 and 31, aftermath of Calvary, is that there's a generation that is preaching. The Bible said a seed shall serve him. And the Bible said it shall be accounted to the Lord for a generation. They shall come and shall declare. They got something to say. This crowd that's had that aftermath touch him of the salvation provided, and they've been brought into the church. They've been that blood-bought, washed crowd, and they're learning about the Lord, and they're learning about Calvary. They're learning about what they used to be and what they are tonight. Guess what? They got something to say. And the Bible said, Brother Tim, the Lord's going to look down, and it's going to be as a seed that's going to be accounted. They're going to be numbered with the Lord. They got something to say. That's the crowd that's got something to say tonight. Amen. Y'all might as well look on up here. You know why some of y'all don't testify? You might not have nothing to say. Amen. Everybody okay now? People's been saved. He said, that seed's going to rise up. And he said, they got something to declare. They got something to preach. They got something to tell. Notice with me about this generation, this preaching. I see that they've got a motivation. There's things that motivate them to preach. They're motivated by the ministry they've been given. A seed shall serve him. And I say tonight, in light of Calvary, we've been given a ministry to serve the Lord tonight. And there's an aspect where we serve one another, but I don't do what I do for you. I do ultimately what I do at the end of the day. I ought to be doing what I'm doing to serve Him. It's the ministry we've been given. And by the way, when you serve Him, you've got no problem serving others. The motivation, they're motivated by the ministry they've been given. They're motivated by the mercy they've been given. The Bible said, a seed shall serve Him. It shall be, I like the word, accounted to the Lord for a generation. They've been given mercy. God has bestowed His mercy upon them. And the whole reason they have this service is not because they're great, but because the mercy of God is great. They're brought in to number with the Lord on the merits of mercy, not what they have to offer. You say, but preacher, I got a lot to offer. Look on up in here, you got nothing to offer. There is an aspect where we have things to give to God, but there's another side of that coin that God don't need anything I have. It is but by His mercy He brings me in and lets me be a part of that generation that has something to say. The mercy that flows from Calvary. And then last of all, I'm done. They're motivated by the message they've been given. Notice, they shall come and shall declare His righteousness unto a people that shall be born, that He hath done this. You know what He's just saying there? He's saying, this generation, this preaching, they've been given a message, and that message they've been given is the message they were given
that Jesus died for their sin on an old rugged cross, shed His blood at Calvary, that they could be saved. That's the message we have tonight. This old Joe Osteen message, that ain't what we've been told to go take to the world. Well, you just think better about it and everything will be better. That ain't the message of the Bible. We don't go around with philosophies and things of that nature. Brother Dean, all we have to give is the old story that's been told over and over and over again, Brother Mark, that Jesus died for your sin. And Calvary's the only way you can be saved. And the Lord done it for you. Amen. A salvation provided, a congregation promoted, and a generation preaching. Thank God tonight for the aftermath of Calvary. Amen. Well, I know I preached a little while. I didn't mean to, Brother Dean, but when you're preaching 31 verses, you ain't going to get it. I mean, 31 minutes would be a minute a verse, wouldn't it? Amen. I think I've done pretty good. I've spent 2 minutes per verse tonight or less. Somebody say amen. I think I've done all right. Father, I love You. Thank You for the grace of God. Thank You for Calvary. Thank You for letting us study together. Father, I want to bless Your name tonight, that You're God and beside Thee there's none other. We bless Your name for Calvary and all that it's brought into our life. God, we know we wouldn't have the lives we have tonight. It's just been so greatly testified over and over again this evening. Lord, it all is rooted back in the event of Calvary, the event of all human history, the place where Jesus gave His life and shed His blood for us. We love You for it. Thank You so much. Thank You, Lord, for loving us enough to send Your Son to die for our sin. And Father, I pray in days to come, help us, Lord, to be, we're a saved group of people. Help us, Lord, to praise You more and more and more in days to come, to be happy, to be glad, to rejoice in the salvation given, Lord, to give, and Lord, to be filled with all the grace of God. Lord, all these things tonight, bring it to pass and do it for Calvary's sake. In Jesus' name, amen.